Welcome to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast, the audio version of the Josh Meister's Lost blog, which you can find at thelostmeister.blogspot.com. This podcast may contain spoilers. Saturday, September 30th, 2006. A fresh look at Lost's Season 2 finale, Live Together, Die Alone. Following is a brief analysis of some portions of the Season 2 finale, Live Together, Die Alone, that stood out to me after watching it again recently. It was interesting to watch the show from a fresh perspective, having listened to loads of fan theories over the summer, being aware of several new insights gained through the Lost experience, and having seen and heard the Season 3 hints, teasers, and spoilers that have been released thus far. Why is it that Desmond couldn't get away from the island? He attempted to sail in the same direction for 2 weeks straight and ended up back on the island. Desmond assumed that this meant they were in a bloody snow globe, but more probable is that the navigational equipment on his boat was giving inaccurate readings. Could it be that the island's magnetic properties affected the instruments on Desmond's boat from so far away? Does the fact that Desmond couldn't get away from the island have anything to do with the fake Henry Gale's instructions to Michael that he would only find rescue if he followed a specific heading from a specific place on the island? Why was Desmond placed in prison and dishonorably discharged from the Royal Scotch Regiment? The only thing we know is what Kelvin says to Desmond later, that Desmond got kicked out because he couldn't follow orders. Why did Charles Widmore dislike Desmond so much? Why did he think that Desmond was a coward? The only hint we receive is when Desmond later tells Libby that Charles thought that Desmond was unsuitable on several levels. Libby said that her deceased husband's name was David. Several fans have speculated that David may have been a Widmore, and others have pointed out that Hurley's imaginary friend's name was Dave. Interesting, though, is the fact that at the beginning of the episode, we learn that Desmond's middle name is David. Could Libby have known Desmond's name? Did she lie about having had a husband named David in order to make Desmond think that fate was bringing him a boat? Does the vaccine that Claire had been giving the baby actually do anything, or is it just a placebo? Desmond assumed that it was useless because Kelvin told him to use it, and Desmond knew that Kelvin had been deceitful about certain things. Is there really a sickness, and does the vaccine help to prevent it? Danielle, the Frenchwoman, certainly believes in the sickness, because she believes that her whole team was infected by it. What is the large four-toed foot statue that Saeed, Jin, and Sun saw from the boat? Why does it only have four toes? Is it supposed to symbolize something? Who built it? Based on comments from the executive producers, it is apparently much older than the Dharma Initiative. Desmond seemed very concerned when he turned to John in the hatch and said, referring to Mr. Echo, "We locked out a priest?" The apparent depth of his concern, as well as the fact that he crosses himself before putting the key in the failsafe later in the episode, seems to indicate that Desmond is a religious man. We also see the religious side of Saeed coming out when he prays on the boat. Perhaps Saeed is seeking forgiveness for torturing people on the island after having sworn that he would never torture again. Or perhaps Saeed is praying for forgiveness for what he thinks he might do when he finds the others. Desmond asks Kelvin, "What's behind that wall, Kelvin, huh? What was the incident mentioned in the orientation film?" Kelvin responded, "Electromagnetism, geologically unique. The incident, it was a leak. So now the charge builds up and every time we push the button, it discharges it before it gets too big." What then does the failsafe do? Does it cause the electromagnetic charge to become so strong that it becomes unstable and self-destructs? This theory is supported by the fact that the executive producers have used the term imploded when describing what happened to the hatch. Or does the failsafe somehow reverse the polarity of the magnetism? If the polarity reversal theory is correct, this would seem to explain how the quarantine hatch door went flying through the air toward the beach. It was propelled away from the magnet. When Saeed raids the camp where the others had taken Michael, Saeed finds all the buildings to be abandoned, and more interestingly, he even finds that the double doors that appeared to be a hatch were nothing more than a facade. Why in the world would the others go to the trouble of making a fake hatch when they captured Michael? What was the real purpose of the Pearl Station? We now know through the Lost experience that the Dharma Initiative's purpose was to try to use the Valenzetti equation, which made use of the numbers 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, and 42, to save the world. How would having a human observation station fit with the Dharma Initiative's purpose? Moreover, what was the point of recording all these observations only to have them dumped in a pile, exposed to the elements, and never analyzed by Dharma? What did the fake Henry Gale mean by, "We got more than we bargained for when Walt joined us"? Many fans believe that Walt has psychic powers. Is this what the others were trying to tap into? If the others are associated with the Dharma Initiative, do they want to use psychic abilities to help prevent the world's destruction? Michael said, referring to Jack, Kate, Sawyer, and Hurley, who was still bound at the time, "My friends, I was promised you wouldn't hurt them," to which Henry replied, "Deal's a deal." If the others keep their promise, then Jack, Kate, and Sawyer won't be hurt. However, we see in Season 3 teasers that Sawyer is hurt by a contraption in his holding cell, and Kate is clearly emotionally hurt in more than one clip where she is seen crying. Michael also asked Henry, "Who are you people?" Henry's reply, "We're the good guys, Michael," has prompted a lot of speculation about what the others' real goals and intentions are. This may support the theory that the others are indeed part of the Dharma Initiative and see themselves as the good guys because they're trying to save the world from mass destruction. We find out for sure that Penny Widmore kept her promise to Desmond and didn't get married. One of the Portuguese men from the listening station says to her, "Miss Widmore, I think we found it." By "it," does he mean that they think they found the island? If so, how would Penny have known about the island? Does this prove that Penny's dad is somehow involved with the Dharma Initiative? New Season 3 spoilers for September 30th, 2006. There have been several ads on ABC and on the internet recently showing very brief flashes of scenes from Season 3, and a couple of brief scenes from the first episode have also become available. Some of these flashes and scenes have included the following. Spoilers ahead. Tom, the formerly bearded other, takes Kate somewhere, with Kate dressed in a different outfit from the Season 2 finale, which begs the question, why did they put Kate in a skimpy dress instead of leaving her in the clothes she had been wearing when she was captured? Kate cries while lying down in the dress. In another scene, Jack has his hands chained up and screams at someone, "Tell me where my friends are!" We see Saeed shooting a rifle. Locke, we see, apparently with a painted face and possibly firing a gun. Sawyer and Kate kissing. Jack opening some kind of a hatch door only to get knocked off his feet by a tidal wave. In one of the extended clips, Sawyer is behind bars in an outdoor, rudimentary jail cell which appears to be a Skinner box or a Pavlovian experiment. There are several switches, some of which appear to not do anything upon initial inspection. Sawyer presses a button twice that bears a fork and knife symbol, and each time a recorded voice says, "Warning." As Sawyer is about to press it again for a third time, a male prisoner in an adjoining cell whom we've never seen before says, "I wouldn't do that." But Sawyer ignores his advice, presses the button again, and is thrown backwards, apparently electrocuted based on the sound effect that is heard. Another scene. Jack wakes up to find himself in a room by himself, with a small bandage on his arm, the kind a doctor might use to stop the bleeding after giving an injection. There is a communicate button on the wall which doesn't seem to work. He then turns around and walks straight into a transparent wall which seems indestructible and partially soundproof. Lost-media.com has several photographs of upcoming Lost sets. More spoilers ahead. From the first episode are shots of Jack and Sarah, his wife, who appear to be having problems with their relationship, and shots of Jack speaking heatedly with his father, Christian Shepherd. There is a picture of Sawyer lying on the floor of a holding cell, possibly unconscious. From the second episode of Season 3, it appears that Charlie may lose his hearing entirely, as John writes messages and draws pictures to communicate with Charlie. We will see a flashback in which Locke went hunting with a young man. This young man may perhaps be a relative. Other photos show what appears to be an outdoor family gathering or a picnic, and the guy is sitting next to Locke. He's also wearing a Geronimo Jackson t-shirt. A Geronimo Jackson album appeared in The Hatch, and the band was later mentioned in The Lost Experience. Speaking of the Lost experience, it has finally ended now that season 3 is about to start. At the conclusion of the experience, the protagonist, Rachel Blake, discovers that Alvar Hanso is apparently her father, that he is alive, but that he is being held captive in his own home by Thomas Werner Mittelwerk, who has overtaken the Hanso Foundation for his own gain and evil intentions. Since the HansoFoundation.org stated that Alvar made his mark during the Second World War, he must be at least in his 90s, or possibly well over 100, so he looks unbelievably young for his age. Perhaps this is a result of the Hanso Foundation's Life Extension Project. Don't forget, the new season starts this Wednesday night. Don't miss the action. Enjoy this podcast? Got a few bucks to spare? Click on the PayPal donate button at TJM's Lost Blog. Those who donate will have their names mentioned in the podcast. Thanks for listening. Please check out the Josh Meister's Lost Blog for links related to this podcast. The address again is The Lost Meister, that's thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Thank you, and namaste.